Freddie Freeman who? This was the Anthony Volpe game. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Wednesday, October 30th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on the Twitter machine. And Troy, what a game. We thought the series could be over, but the New York Yankees, can we call it a rout? I'm going to call it a rout. 11-4 over the Los Angeles Dodgers to stay alive, stave off elimination, and send this series to a game five. And I want to get to a banged up Shohei Ohtani. I want to get to tonight's matchup with Gerrit Cole going back to the mound. I want to get to a lot of that. But first, do we talk about Anthony Volpe? Do we talk about Freddie Freeman? Because Volpe dominated this game, but Freddie Freeman has made history.
Yeah, I think we got to start off with Frederick because he made history. It's the first time ever that someone has hit a home run in six consecutive World Series games and four to open the World Series. So it's crazy what he's been able to do in the postseason throughout his career and this season, and especially in the World Series. And even though the Yankees did snatch that one away from the Dodgers, I still think that the Dodgers have a very good chance of winning this thing pretty soon. But and Freddie Freeman has been a big part of their success throughout this World Series.
I'm gonna segue off of your reference of snatching before we get back to Freeman, because the first inning home run from Freddie Freeman, like you mentioned, fourth consecutive in this World Series, he tied George Springer with a home run in four games of a World Series. But again, like you said, it's the first four of it. And when you go back to Atlanta's 21 World Series, he homered in games 5 and 6. So this is six consecutive. He scored two runs on that homer because Mookie Betts was on base. But we also, talking about snatching, we saw some interesting stuff from the crowd in this matchup as well.
Fly to right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out. One gone in this first.
Two fans who were later identified. Somebody from one of the networks who was covering the game found them on the concourse and talked to them. Grab Mookie Betts as he's leaping for the catch. One of them's holding his arm. The other one's trying to rip the ball out of his glove. They do successfully get the ball out of his glove, but the umpires rule it an out. I don't believe they got arrested, which is wild to me that you can put hands on an MLB player and not get arrested. Is this, like, we've seen fan interference stuff. We saw it in LA. In like, I think the 9th or 10th inning, somebody got ejected for fan interference. Is this the most egregious fan interference that you've seen in a, like, almost ever, I'd say?
Yeah, this was bad. Not only was it just fan interference, like the one you brought up in LA, that was fan interference, but all the dude did was reach over and catch the ball. He didn't physically assault a Major League Baseball player by grabbing his arm and trying to pull his arm away from the glove, and another guy grabbing the glove and trying to pull the ball out of the glove. And it's just, it's insane to me, especially with how expensive these World Series tickets are, that these guys would pay over $1,000 each, probably over $2,000 each.
I mean, they were in the front row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would do something just that ignorant and get themselves possibly kicked out or not. And it's just, it's insane to me. And especially that's Mookie Betts' bowling arm. You got to be careful with that man. But no, I don't think I've ever seen Mookie Betts that mad. You always see Mookie with a smile on his face, and dude was angry.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame him.
They did get a quote from Mookie after the game. It doesn't matter. We lost. It's irrelevant. I'm fine. He's fine. Everything's cool. We lost the game. That's what I'm kind of focused on. Turn the page. everything's fine. We did get confirmation. Those fans did get ejected almost immediately. They actually named the guy who was ripping the ball out of the glove. He is a Yankee Stadium season ticket holder. The guy with him, I don't know if that was just a friend or a relative or what or whatever it was, but they were both ejected almost immediately. He declined comment to a lot of people, but apparently they were arguing that the ball, that the glove was in foul territory. And I guess they thought that because the glove is in foul territory, you know, over the wall or whatever, that they're allowed to just mess with it, which is wild. A league spokesperson confirmed that they were ejected. A lot of the quotes were just really interesting as far as the Yankees fans being proud of them. One of them got hugged on the way up to the concourse as they were being walked out by security. One fan quoted in an article in The Athletic said, I told him he was my hero for trying to save the Yankees. This is not okay, people. You don't, you interfering with the game is bad enough, but deliberately grabbing at a player, trying to interfere with the play going on, like deliberately, this wasn't an accident. Like the fan in LA, if I remember right, it was a home run ball and he like, it was right in front of him and he reached over to try to catch it and his hand ended up going over the wall or his glove went over the wall. Like that's one thing. Cause there's a little bit of a reflex to want to catch a ball, right? Yeah. This was deliberate. And this was, I don't want to be one of those high horse people that gets all indignant on this, but like, that's just awful. And you can't that. And you got to be better than that. That's the kind of thing that gets the protective netting put up all the way around where there's no, now you're not able to have interaction with the fielder. Like you're in a position where the right fielder in Yankee Stadium can like toss a ball into the stands because there's not a net there. This is the type of thing that gets a net put up all the way around where you can't do anything. And one person can kind of ruin it for everybody. So you hate it. It's awful. But despite how awkward that was, that didn't necessarily stop Anthony Volpe. Right. Grew up a Yankees fan in New Jersey. There's pictures of him at the parade. You know, last time the Yankees won, there's pictures of him like at different World Series games and things like that. And he goes last night, he hits a grand slam in this game, a grand slam that gives in the third inning that gives the Yankees a 5-2 lead. They're down 2-1. When it happens, and then he continues to do more just amazing stuff. He has some defensive plays, doing a lot of different things. This was launched a slider 390 to left field. If I had told you going into this game that a Yankee was going to hit a grand slam, how far down the list would Anthony Volpe have been?
At least sixth or seventh, I would probably say, because you'd think it was, even with how bad he's been in this World Series and the postseason as a whole, probably Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm, even Alex Verdugo, Gleyber Torres.
Juan Soto, yeah.
Juan Soto, yeah. I even forgot about Juan Soto, but yeah, Juan Soto. And that's at least before Anthony Volpe, but he did have a fantastic game, and, you know, better late than never, because they need the offense to show up, especially because Aaron Judge has still yet to do so. And Anthony Volpe showed up in a big way to where they didn't need Aaron Judge to show up in last night's game.
Yeah, Volpe goes 2-for-3, scored 3 total runs. Obviously, he has the grand slam. In the 5-run eighth inning, he doubles. I believe he steals third and then scores maybe, you know, I think it was a no. He doubled, stole third, and then scored in that 5-run thing. And so this is, you know, 9 hits by the Yankees. They draw 6 walks. The big thing for me, the big difference in this game versus all of the rest of them so far, and I haven't gone back to check this, I feel like it's the first time the Yankees walked more than they struck out. 6 walks, only 4 strikeouts. Aaron Judge doesn't strike out once. Oddly, Juan Soto strikes out twice.
Wow.
But something where every starter in the lineup, except for Stanton, who was moved down to 5th, and Anthony Rizzo pick up a hit. Stanton still scores. He ended up walking and then came around to score. Is this enough to give the Yankees offense enough confidence that they can get going tonight and send the series back to LA? Because if you look at the bottom of the order, Volpe goes 2-for-3 from the 7 hole. Austin Wells goes 2-for-3 with 2 runs scored from the 8 hole. Alex Verdugo goes 1-for-4 with 2 RBI and a run scored from the 9 hole. Is this enough offense to give you the confidence that they can send the series back to LA for game 6?
If the bottom of the lineup can continue to do what they did last night, then yes, because that is what the Yankees have been needing, is the bottom of the lineup to come through, because they haven't yet. Their only offensive contributions in this World Series until last night were from Giancarlo Stanton and Juan Soto, and two guys cannot bring a World Series championship to a team. And it's been the complete opposite for the Dodgers. They've been getting offensive contributions throughout their entire lineup, and even the bottom of the lineup. And that has really been one of the major deciding factors so far in this World Series, has been the whole lineup performing for the Dodgers, and compared to the Yankees only having two guys perform. So if they can do it again tonight, they do have a really good shot at taking this back to LA, especially with Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, for the Yankees. And for the Dodgers, it's Jack Flaherty. He had a good start in his first start of the World Series. But again, he's been inconsistent throughout his career. So you don't know if you're going to get that same performance from him in this game tonight.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that stood out to me, you still saw base running issues from the Yankees. They were one of the worst teams in baseball this year at running the bases. And you saw a situation, Volpe doesn't score off a second on a base hit, because he was too close to the bag when the ball dropped. He didn't make it past third. But you did see them get more aggressive with the steals. I believe they had 5 stolen bases in this game, were not caught stealing once. Now, some of them came in that big inning they had, right? That big eighth inning. They took, I think, when I said they stole 3 bases off of Brent Honeywell. Is this maybe the more consistent approach here for the New York Yankees, of let some of the bottom of the order guys get on, let them run around a bit, and hope that you can drive them in? Maybe it's Volpe, but like, it would feel like your more reliable options would be your Aaron Judge, your Juan Soto, your Gleyber Torres, things like that. Is this just a get those guys on base at the bottom of the order, let them run more than you have before, and then get the top of the order to bring them in? Is that a viable strategy?
Yeah, at this point, down 3-1. You got to just throw stuff at the wall and see if it sticks. And last night it worked. It worked for the offense, and they'll probably go with it again tonight. But it's even still going into the offseason with the issues that they have had running the bases this year, and specifically in this World Series, they probably need to start looking for an outside source for a new third base coach, especially after sending Giancarlo Stanton in the game the night before last. They haven't been great, but they were much better last night than they have been. So that's a good sign for them moving forward.
I checked their coaching staff last night. They don't have a base running coach. Like, they don't have anybody assigned to be a base running coach. And it kind of feels like that's maybe something that they should do, because it shouldn't be that much more money. And obviously, being the worst in baseball at this, they can absolutely pick up a little bit, I guess, more of an edge there. Regressing back to slightly below average, I think would be beneficial. Because again, from like a advanced analytics standpoint, they were the worst base running team in baseball this year. And some of that's the lack of team speed, right?
Yeah.
Stanton is slower than most catchers, right? But even despite that, they just weren't very good. And I kind of want to move this over to the Dodgers real quick, because they go with the bullpen game. They don't have a fourth starter, right? So they go with the bullpen game, and we've seen when it works, right? They did this in game 4 of the NLDS against the Padres, and it worked. They did this in game 6 of the NLCS against the Mets, and it worked. But this one didn't. And it feels like your margin for error on these is so slim. Daniel Hudson giving up the grand slam in the third inning. And so from there, they turn to Landon Knack, who is ostensibly a starter, and he gives them four innings to kind of bridge it to Brent Honeywell. They saved a lot of the bullpen despite using a bullpen game, right? I mean, they didn't throw hardly any of their high leverage guys. Ben Kasparius was their starter. He is a rookie right-hander, one run over two innings. But it was the idea of he was able to take a little bit of extra length there. And as soon as the game got out of hand or behind, instead of Daniel Hudson staying in there for second inning, they go with Knack for four innings. Do you think that Jack Flaherty and a rested bullpen is going to be enough to end this series before the Dodgers have to take it back to LA and extend this a few more days?
The bullpen, most definitely. Like I said, I don't trust Jack Flaherty as far as I can throw him, as far as his consistency goes.
Right.
And but if he can give the Dodgers what he did in game one of this World Series, then the Dodgers will win the game tonight. Because like you said, they have the rested bullpen. All of their best relievers did not get used last night because it felt like once they got behind after the grand slam, they kind of just punted it. And being up three games to none, they could afford to do that. Mm-hmm. And so they went to Landon Knack to eat innings, and then they went to Brent Honeywell, who they probably wouldn't use if the game was much closer. And unless it was an emergency. But so with their bullpen being pretty much at full strength still tonight, they have a really good opportunity, but they got to have four or five strong innings from Jack Flaherty before they can turn it over to that bullpen. And their offense showing up, of course, against Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. Shohei Ohtani has not been going. He has that shoulder injury he suffered in game two. It's funny, his stats and Judge's stats are actually remarkably similar for this series. They're both 2-for-15 with two walks and a hit by pitch, and they have no home runs. Now, obviously, despite being injured, and you can tell Shohei Ohtani is hurting when he plays, he is running with his left hand kind of tucked up towards the top of his jersey to protect his elbow and things like, or his shoulder and things like that. We don't know whether or not he'll need some sort of surgical procedure after the season to fix this or anything like that. I still feel like his at-bats are better. He's the only one of those two that has an extra base hit. Aaron Judge doesn't. He's making more contact. He's making better contact. But it's definitely not the same. I don't know how much of this is just he's facing some really good pitchers and you can have a couple slow games, and how much of this is the injury. I'm thinking about the seventh inning, right? He's facing Mark Leiter out of the bullpen, and you know he takes a splitter for strike one, and then he swings and misses at a splitter off the plate for strike three on a full count. And it's just, some of me wonders, does he need to just not play? Is this something where you rest Shohei Ohtani in game five? So that way you get, I think this is with the travel day, you get what, 2 days for him to heal before he would play again on Friday? Or do you go ahead and just leave him in there? He's wincing a little bit after the swings. He's had to tape the shoulder up and things like that. Do you just rest him for a game or two and let the depth of this lineup work around that? You know, put Freddie at DH, put Muncy at first and Kike at third and move this around? Or do you still let him run out there at what I'm going to assume is 75 or 80%, you know, capability?
Yeah, I think they should have had him sit for the last two games. Especially with the way that he's been reacting, running while he's holding his jersey, like to your point, and then wincing after his swings, they're really risking him injuring himself even more in his overcompensating for the injury he already has. And it could, you know, throw a spanner in things for having him on the roster and healthy next season, which they fully intend to do. But if he injures himself more, and even worse, if he tears that shoulder, if it's already torn, he tears it worse, then he could miss a significant amount of time next year as for a DH and pitching. Because I think they need to sit him because A, he hasn't performed, and a lot of that could also be over the past two games because of the injury, and B, you don't want to get Shohei Ohtani even more injured and risk not having him in the lineup next season.
In the rotation next season. I mean, this isn't his throwing arm.
Too.
Like, that's important. And apparently with the way it is on the left shoulder, he can take a full swing. There's no pain in the full swing because he can release the bat with his backhand after he's made contact already, right? So it's not, theoretically, it shouldn't be impacting him at the plate from anything other than the pain tolerance standpoint. But I absolutely do believe that, I mean, maybe you consider tonight, just the fact that he was so hot all postseason until now, maybe you consider sitting him for game five. That way he gets two full games to rest. You can rest Freddie's ankle a little bit. And if you clinch, great. And if not, you have two more chances and you get to do it at home. So something to think about there. Speaking of this matchup, obviously, going tonight, again, like you said, Jack Flaherty, Gerrit Cole. We now have a little bit of a sample size against these guys, right? Tommy Edman off of Gerrit Cole, you know, went 1-for-2. Freddie Freeman's 1-for-3. Kike Hernandez is 1-for-2. Teoscar Hernandez is 1-for-3. You know, it's, we've seen these guys face each other. Giancarlo Stanton took Jack Flaherty deep, right? He's 1-for-3 with 2 RBI and a homer. Who do you feel like has the, you've already kind of touched on this, but who do you feel like has the advantage tonight in a rematch between these hitters and these two pitchers?
I would give it to the Yankees against Jack Flaherty, and just because, like you said, Stanton's already hit a home run off of him, and he is more than capable of doing that again. And maybe having seen Jack Flaherty so recently, maybe that'll help Aaron Judge put something together at the plate. Juan Soto is going to have a good at bat against anybody. Doesn't matter who you throw at him. But it's Jack Flaherty. I've already touched on that. I'm not going to bang that drum anymore today. But and for the Dodgers having to face Gerrit Cole, it's hard to face Gerrit Cole. Even when Gerrit Cole isn't at his best, it's hard to face Gerrit Cole. And he showed that in game one of the World Series, and I think that he is more than capable of doing that again tonight, especially if they do start Shohei Ohtani at the DH spot. And so I would give the advantage in this one to the Yankees lineup.
I kind of like, I think I'm in the same place as well. Cole's just been more consistent this postseason. That game tonight, 8:08 p.m. Eastern, and going to be a good one. Again, this may wrap up the series. This may not, and this may go back to L.A. on Friday for Game 6. But that has been First Pitch for Wednesday, October 30th. If you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, you probably noticed that my camera just died a few minutes ago. I have no idea why. We're going to get that fixed. But subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell. And either way, tell your friends. They can go out to get updates every single day on Major League Baseball from the First Pitch Podcast at firstpitchpodcast.com. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.